Holy Ghost. Aren't you addicted to the love of God? There's nothing like that love. There's nothing like that grace. Nothing like the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Amen. What a joy tonight to feel that, to know that. Amen. And just to be a recipient. Amen. And know that there's great things coming. Amen. And everybody talks about, man, when I get, yeah, that's going to be great when we get to heaven. But you know what? I can enjoy living right now. Hallelujah. Enjoy living for the Lord and letting God be God in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Because you know what? Pentecost to some people is a denomination, but that church sign ain't going to save me, won't save you. I didn't get a denomination. In fact, there won't be any denominations. Amen. When I got my Pentecost, I got filled with the glory of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's what is happening. A relationship with the Almighty God. And we're so thankful for that tonight. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's go to 2 Timothy, the first chapter tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And it's so good to see you in the house of the Lord. Every one of you that is here tonight, there's no place and nobody like you and no place like your place. And God only made one you, not 20, not 10, not two. You can search the whole world through, but God only made just one you. And nobody could pray, you know, we could pray for you, but I can't do your praying for you. And I can worship with you, but I can't do your worshiping for you. And God loves it, I mean, when you be you and love him, amen, from you. Praise God. We're blessed tonight. The scripture that we want to read tonight, and I want to just even read 13 and 14. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 13 says, hold fast. And that's an old word. When you hold fast, that means hold tight. Don't let it go. The form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. Paul's writing to a young man, and the gospel said, hang on to what I've taught you in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. You see, the Holy Ghost is just not a gift, but is God dwelling in you. And friend, I want to let God live and be in my heart and life. Amen. We want God just to be God. Praise God. You may be seated. Amen. I want to talk to us tonight about following the pattern. Following the pattern. You got to follow the pattern. Now, I love to teach this, and I want to do it more and more. The older I get, I want to repeat myself on this. Amen. You see this book? It's going to be right 9 times out of 9. My opinion ain't worth a trash can, folks. Your opinion, it don't count either. But what God says matters. Amen. Are you thankful God don't go back on his word? Man, I've gone back on my word. I've twisted my word. I messed up. Amen. And I've had to go back and scratch my head and say, wow, I can't live up to my word. But I'm glad that God lives up to his word. This is going to be right when everything is falling apart. And we're so thankful for the word of the Lord. Now, we want to talk about following the pattern that God has given us. And we're going to talk about tonight several different patterns of the word of the Lord. But let me go to the definition of what a pattern is defined as. And we're going to look at what a pattern is defined as. You know, a pattern is a person or thing to be copied or imitated. A model, a design, or guide with the help of which something is to be made. Now, throughout the Bible, God has given man patterns to follow so that they could fulfill his will or his desire for their lives. You know, God intended for man to follow these patterns and for mankind to find his true purpose. Man. And it would require that he simply just say, I got to just do what God has already laid out for me, the patterns I've got to follow. And there's a lot of people trying to find themselves. They try to look for themselves and find themselves. Hey, I'm going to tell you, bucket lists will not find you. It will never find your purpose. You could travel far and wide, and you'll never find your fulfillment. Only till you find your place in God. And I love this little illustration. We use it quite frequently, but I got to use it again tonight. You know, you don't go to Goodwill and buy a puzzle. Why? Because at Goodwill, when you go to buy something, a lot of times somebody's already opened a box and a piece is going to be missing. But I'm glad tonight that, amen, I don't find my help from this world. Only God could fill that missing piece in your life. Amen. God will fill that missing part. And tonight we're going to talk about that, how God fits the place inside of you that everybody's searching to find. And Carrie, you got your purpose. God has a purpose for your life. Amen. Whenever you injured yourself the other day and you was knocked out of your mind, amen, God had a purpose to revive you and to keep you. And you got a purpose in this life. Amen. And every one of us can say amen because you have a purpose too. Amen. We can say, yeah, Kara's got a purpose. She's alive tonight. No, no, no. There's a deeper thing than her just being alive. Amen. God has a holy purpose. And there's more to it than you just being alive. God has a holy purpose. Now, we're going to look at some patterns that God has laid out. And the next pattern that we want to talk about is Noah's pattern. God told Noah the world was sick. I mean, so sick that God said, I'm fixing to destroy it. And so he told Noah, he said, hey, I see the wickedness of man has got so great in the world that it's making me sick. And I'm fixing to destroy man whom I created. And the Bible says, amen, that man was doing every kind of imagination of the thought. And his heart was on evil continually. Man, everything he did was evil, and his mind was constantly on evil. And God was displeased with man and the condition that man was going into. And they rejected his pattern. Anytime we reject what God has laid out, and we reject what God has a purpose for us, we're missing the mark. And eventually their sin would become so vile and wicked that God would destroy man from the face of the earth. But aren't you thankful that God has a plan? Genesis the 6th chapter verse 7 and 8. This is what the Lord said. I'm going to destroy man who I created. Both man and beast and creeping things and fowl of the air. He said it's even caused me to repent that I made man. But we're so thankful that the Bible says in the book of Hebrews. But somebody found grace. Amen. God found grace and faith in Noah. God looked and seen Noah's life. And Noah was one that always looked to God in spite of everybody. They're evil. There was somebody that looked to God. And are you thankful that there are still a people that is still conscious of God? People that really look to God. I'm thankful tonight there's a group of people that have gathered together that still look to God and say, God, what matters to you matters to me. And the Bible says Noah found grace with God. So God told Noah to build an ark. He said, Noah, here's the plans. He laid out the blueprint. And when we look and we uncover the key to Noah's survival in a chaotic world, we find that Noah found safety in God's pattern. And he built an ark. That ark had just one door. It did not have an escape route. It didn't have an exit door. And let me just tell you the pattern that God has right there. Amen. There's only one way, and it's God's way. One way to get in that ark. And everybody that wasn't in that ark drowned. And every beast that wasn't, every fowl, every bird that wasn't in that ark, amen, it died. But God had a plan. God had a purpose. And Noah did according to all God commanded him to do. That's Genesis 6:22. And we find that through obedience to God's plan, Noah and his family were saved. Amen. I'm going to just say this tonight. God gave Noah that pattern to build an ark, but Noah couldn't say, you know, I want a window right here. I think this ark ought to have a screen door. No, God said, this is the way. If you want to be saved and you want to please me, do it my way. Have you ever seen somebody who was so stubborn they had to do it their way? I want to tell you, Noah said, no, it's not my opinion, but God, what you have said matters. Amen. So as a result, the rain started falling, but it was okay because the Bible says Noah was safe in the ark, he and his family. And when it came time, God shut the door, sealed them in the ark, and the rain came. The rain came from above, and the Bible says the fountains of the deep underneath the earth began to break forth, and there came flood from underneath and rain from the top till finally the earth was completely covered with water. But Noah and his family was inside the plan of God, the ark. And they floated and they survived with the animals aboard that ark. And you are descended of Noah, every one of you. You are descended of Noah. And because of Noah's faith in God and obedience to God, we're here today. Now, the next pattern that we find is Moses' pattern. You know, you remember the children of Israel were in Egypt. And they were in Egypt and they were slaves. And the Egyptians said, you're going to bow and worship our type of religion, our type of gods, with S. But deep inside, Moses, he had been taught. Moses was taught, Moses, there's only one God. There's not 22. There's not 16. There's just one God. And Moses, you ought to love that God with all your heart. You don't belong to Egypt. You don't belong to this world. You belong to God. And when Moses got up in age, the Bible says he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He said, I am not an Egyptian. I don't belong here. I want to tell you that pattern there, amen, where he realized, I don't belong here. Amen. We're in this world, but we don't belong to this world. We belong to that one true God. Amen. So Moses, God brought him out of Egypt. That's called the Exodus in the Bible. And he led them through. And when they got to the Red Sea, as far as they could go, by all the means of logic, it was a dead end. But when you follow God's plan, God, when you get to your dead end, God opens up things. The Bible says, amen, when they came to the Red Sea, they were being pursued by Pharaoh's armies with chariots, and they were coming to capture them. But God opened up the Red Sea that the children of Israel, following Moses, walked through on dry ground. What a great miracle. They walked all the way across it. And then when they got to the other side, here comes Pharaoh and his army. And the Bible says that the walls of waters collapsed on Pharaoh and his army and they drowned. I'm telling you, God knows how to take care of your enemies when you follow his plan. Amen. You follow God's plan, God will get you through what you need to go through. Then in the wilderness, we find that God's plan was to give them a place where they could connect to the Almighty God. We find that there was the tabernacle in the wilderness. And God began to set up that tabernacle, a pattern for that tabernacle, where men even know that God would dwell in the midst of their life. And how beautiful, in the midst of the camp, the Lord said, I want you to build a place where man could come and worship me. And all of Israel, not everybody could go to that tent, but just the priest. But the whole Israel would watch when that priest would go in and they would pray, God, we want you to touch humanity. And the Bible says when that priest made that offering, that the Shekinah, the glory of God, fell. That glory and that power of God came down as evidence that God approved their worship. Aren't you thankful that God still approves worship? God loves worship. Worship is more than just me bowing my head in reverence. Worship is me living according to the pattern of God. How do you worship? Amen. How you live. You live for God. The way you live for God is the way you worship God. Worship is more than me coming to church and us clapping our hands, beating a tambourine, and singing a bunch of religious songs. Worship is God being the center of my life. That was the pattern that God had. And I want to tell every one of us tonight, amen, when we keep God number one, amen, God will keep you number one. God will take care of you and bless your life. Remember, follow the pattern. Look at your neighbor and tell them, you got to follow the pattern. Amen. Moses' pattern. I mean, God was there in the midst of it. The next pattern we're going to talk about tonight is Nicodemus' pattern. Jesus was born. You remember that? He came on the scene. And all of a sudden, he was growing up to a young man. And there was an old religious ruler of the Jews named Nicodemus. Big word. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night because I feel that he didn't want his peers to see him going to Jesus, a young man. But Jesus was healing and Jesus was teaching and Jesus was doing all kind of things. Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night and he calls Jesus, Rabbi or teacher, I come to you to find out what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God. Now, Nicodemus was a student of the Bible, the Torah. He was a student. He was a teacher. And he was an old respected man. But he still comes to Jesus to find out, how can I get in? How can I be born in the, how can I get in the kingdom? And Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And Jesus told him, he said, don't be amazed, but you got to be born again. He meant, hear me, you got to be born again. The way I was born is not good enough. Just because I was born in a family that went to church does not make me saved. You got to be born again. Follow the pattern. Amen. Looking beyond what is natural. And Nicodemus scratched his head and he said, how can I be born again? I'm an old man. I can't go back into my mom in her womb and be born. Jesus said, and it explained to him. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. He said, you got to be born again of the spirit. There must be something. You got to be born of the water and of the spirit. Everybody say water and of the spirit. Nicodemus, you got to be born again. You got to be born of the water and of the spirit to see or enter into the kingdom of God. In other words, Nicodemus, if you don't follow these patterns, you won't see or enter the kingdom of God. Amen. Quit arguing with the Bible. There are some people say, well, I don't have to do that. I don't have to be born of water. I don't have to be born of spirit. That's not what Jesus said. He said, except a man is born of the water and of the spirit, he can't see or enter the kingdom of God. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to follow the pattern. Let's go to the next pattern, brother. The pattern of Jesus. Woo. Jesus made a promise for all people and nations. He began to talk to them, and he made a universal pattern for the hope of mankind. You know, Jesus gave his disciples a pattern to follow after he was gone. He gathered his men together, his mighty team together, and he said, I want to tell you what I want to do. I want to invest in you. I want to vest in you a great promise and a commission. Now, a commission is whenever somebody gives orders to somebody. It's a commandment and a mission. And Jesus gave to his disciples the great commission. Everybody say great commission. Great commission. You know why we call it as Bible students, great commission? Because it's so great that everybody needs it. Jesus said, go ye there or to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, every individual. should have an opportunity to know who Jesus is. Jesus said, all power is given unto me. But he said, I want you to go to every nation, every tribe, every culture. And this is what he said. Go ye therefore teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He said, teaching them to observe or to pay attention or obey all things that I'm telling you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus told his disciples that he had all power. But he said this, go and teach and baptize all nations in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Even because there's a pattern in it. Mark the 16th chapter, Mark said this. He said, Mark 16, 15, almost identical. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth shall not be damned. And then he said in verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Can you repeat? Follow them that believe. He said, there's going to be a pattern that's going to follow those that believe. He said, in my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. Mark 16, 16 through 17. He said the pattern is those that believe, there's going to be some patterns, some things that follow. There's going to be power that when demonic things happen, they're going to cast them out. And they shall speak with new tongues. That's Bible. Amen. That's Bible. They're going to speak with other tongues. And here we find Jesus telling his disciples to do this. And he said, I will supply to you the power when you go. And a promise of power for those who follow that. And in the book of Luke, we find Jesus telling his disciples that the pattern should be preached in his name. Notice, in the book of Luke, it said that repentance and remission of sins shall be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you're a witness of these things. And he said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with that power from on high. So we find that Jesus here, in the book of Luke, he said, it's going to be in my name. Are you thankful that you know the name? There is a name above all names, the scripture says. How many know the name? Do you know the name of the Lord? Amen. Jesus said, amen, neither is there salvation in any other. Amen. Acts 4:12, that's what's quoted there. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. You got to follow the pattern, even the name. Amen. Oh, friend, we'll get there in just a moment. Hang on. Amen. Hold to the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now let's look at the pattern at Pentecost. You know, there was a day called Pentecost in the Bible. Pentecost wasn't a church sign or denomination. Pentecost was a feast and a celebration time. It was a holiday, the feast and the day of Pentecost. But Jesus told them to go wait in the city of Jerusalem, and I'm going to give you the power. I'm going to fill you with power. And just so happened that it was on the day of Pentecost that all these people would come back to Jerusalem to worship and to celebrate and to feast. And while they were there, there was disciples in the upper room, about 120, that had gathered together. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, and there was Mary, the mother of Jesus, and other women that were there. It wasn't just the 12, amen, but it was a group of people there, and they were waiting, like Jesus said, for the promise of the Father. And as they begin to pray, and then they begin to, the Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Ghost gave them power to do such. Hear me, just like Jesus prophesied, it happened. Look at your neighbor and say, follow the pattern. We've got to follow the pattern. You follow the pattern, God will do his part. And the Bible says this, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the ability. And because they followed the pattern, Jesus gave them, the disciples and those that were with them, the gift of the Holy Ghost. In fact, they knew that they had received the Holy Ghost because they all spoke with tongues, just like Jesus prophesied to them. Acts the second chapter, and the people around, when they heard about this, when they heard the pattern, Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and he said, "Men and brethren, let me tell you what's going on. This is that which was prophesied by Joel years ago in the Old Testament, over 500 years prior. This is that." Are you thankful that we can say this is that because of the pattern? Amen. It's more than what a preacher's told me. It's more than somebody whispering in my ear. But this is that because God has came in my life. God has filled me with the Holy Ghost. How beautiful to watch it in the jail here in Nacogdoches when somebody receives the Holy Ghost. The other day when those two young ladies received the Holy Ghost in jail, amen, pastor didn't say this. Pastor didn't say, "Repeat after me." The Holy Ghost fell on them. And guess what happened? They had a pattern. They spake with another tongue that they didn't ever learn. The Holy Ghost is still falling today. The Holy Ghost is still working today. You got to follow him to get that pattern in your life. Look at it. Peter stood up and they said, "Men and brother, what do we need to do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Notice here it says, "Be baptized, every one of you." Everybody say everyone. Everyone. Not some, not a few, but everyone must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of sins. Why can't people come to that conclusion? You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Follow the pattern. Follow what the word of God says, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, is where it goes on to say. Amen. How do I find that in my Bible? Brother Zach, we teach this. Sister Benton, we teach this. Brother Corbett, we teach this in the jail. When we get to this place, Brother Zach and I, we've taught it for years. Brother Zach, stand up and teach the congregation. Where do I find that? How do I remember where to find it at? That's how we teach it in the jail. Guess what? They remembered. Brother Zach will say, "How many have your Acts in your 238s? Well, when I started doing that years ago at the courthouse one day, there was a young man that seen me. He had been in the jail and he was free. And he's walking out of the court. And he's still in the court, basically. And he said, "Brother Crossway, guess what? I still got my Acts in my..." I said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa. Not here, buddy." Woo, hallelujah. Amen. You got to obey Acts chapter 2, verse 38, because there's a pattern. There's a pattern. And I love it because the scripture says, what was in the pattern? He said, you got to be repent. Didn't Jesus say, except you repent, you're going to perish? You can't bypass repentance in your life. That's right. Repentance is more than just saying, "I repeated a prayer," or "I asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior." There are some people think, "Well, if I just confess my sin, I'm okay." The Bible says you got to repent. Repentance means a total surrender of your life. And a total repentance means a total surrender of your sin in your life. You got to repent. And he said you got to be baptized. And you have to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, he said, for the promise is not just to a few, but for everybody. This promise is to you and I. Now, next pattern. The pattern for humanity. It's for every tribe, every nation, every culture, every individual. Amen. Acts 8, we find the pattern spread not just to the Jewish people, but to the Samaritans. The Samaritans were hated by the Jewish people. You know why? Because they were not full-blooded Jews. They were half. They were half-bleeds, half-bloods. And everybody looked at them and said, they're the most trashy old people over there in Samaria. In fact, the Jewish people would not even go through Samaria. But I'm thankful that Jesus said, my Holy Ghost is going there. And in Samaria, the word of the Lord came. And guess what? God filled people with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 8, we find that they received the Holy Ghost. They were baptized in Jesus' name. And they spake with tongues as well. You see, the pattern was there. Repentance, burial, baptism, and receiving the Holy Ghost was there. They were baptized in the name of Jesus. Read Acts chapter 8. You find it. Then it didn't stay in just in Samaria. The Bible says there was a man named Cornelius who was an Italian, who was completely a Gentile. Guess what happened? The Bible says he was praying. He was a devout man, one that feared God, prayed often, gave all his money to the poor. But God had more for him. You may be religious. You may be a noble person. And you may give a lot. But if you haven't followed the pattern, you're missing it. Guess what happened? The Lord showed him a vision. Where to go? He said, you send men to Joppa, and there's going to be a man named Simon Peter. He's living at this place with Simon the Tanner. He's going to tell you what you need to do. He's going to give you the pattern. Well, he sent his men there. And when they came, guess what happened? Peter started explaining to him the pattern. In fact, while Peter spake the word, the Holy Ghost fell on Cornelius and his house, and they began to speak with other tongues. And Peter looked at his men that had followed him, and he said, can any man forbid water that these should be baptized who have received the Holy Ghost just like we do? Who got the same pattern? We need to follow the pattern, he said. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 10, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. He didn't suggest, because of a pattern and the promise of God was this. He meant you need to do it in order to be saved. Come on, we're still talking about this book. We're still talking about the pattern, right? You got to obey the book, friend. My opinion don't count. And the culture of my church don't count. Amen. But the word of God does. Somebody say amen. Amen. The Bible says that Cornelius and his house received the Holy Ghost and they spake with tongues and they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, the pattern continued. Acts the 19th chapter. If you were baptized by John the Baptist, that would be a big deal, wouldn't it? Acts 19, Paul went to Corinth. Finding certain disciples of John the Baptist, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost? Did you get into that pattern? They said, we haven't even heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. He said, how was you baptized? They said, by John the Baptist. Acts 19, guess what he did? He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he laid his hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Read Acts 19, 6, 7. And they spake with other tongues. You see the pattern continue. Apostle Paul helped other people follow the pattern because God's pattern was in his life as well. I want to tell you about the pattern. The next one is the pattern for today. Y'all see that anxious Jewish man passing that torch to somebody just like you today? What worked then still works now. The original pattern still works, and it's for all of us. Remember what Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us that this promise of the new birth is given to all people. Anyone that could call on the name of the Lord is entitled to that same promise. Remember, he gave the Great Commission. He said, go teach all nations, baptize them in the name. Everybody said the name. Whenever he said, go baptize them in the name, he didn't say names. He said, the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Ghost. I am a father, I am a son, and I'm a husband, but I have a name. Father's not my name. Son's not my name. Husband is not my name. Hey, friend, I'm thankful I found the name of the Lord. Jesus said, I'm come in my Father's name. What is the name of the Lord? Jesus. What is the name of the Son? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And what is the name of the Holy Ghost? John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father shall send in my name. Are you thankful, friend? You know what the name is. It's the name above all names. And that name is for every creed or nation. Amen. Oh, the name above all names. And through that name, we find salvation. Jesus, our Christ, our Lord. Amen. And Jesus told his disciples, if you love me, keep my commandments, my pattern. And if we are to follow what Jesus taught, we're going to follow every portion of his word. You know what the word of the Lord said in Galatians chapter 1? Jesus talked to us that we are to observe and obey all things that he commanded. And he left a pattern. Paul, in Galatians chapter 1, he said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that has called you into the grace of God unto another gospel. He said, which is not another. He said, but there are some that trouble you and pervert the gospel. This is what he said. Galatians 1:8. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which is preached. If we get out of sync with the pattern, you know what he said? Let it be a curse. If they come and try to tell you anything outside of this book, let it be a curse. And what a hateful thing when we teach people in the jail. And we had a big white marker board that we had a goofball that kept erasing it. And when these people wanted to be baptized, he said, you don't have to be baptized in order to be saved. And those people in the jail pointed their finger at Mr. Goofball and said to him, that's not what the Bible says. Acts chapter 2 verse 38, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. And friend, when they told him that, he got all confused. I'm telling you, friend, when you get out of the word of God, you're in for confusion. But when you obey the pattern, amen, God's glory fills you. Amen. Let's go to the next pattern, brother. The conclusion. Everybody see it? 1, 2, 3. What must I do to enter the kingdom of God? First of all, somewhere in your life you got to repent. You got to die. Repentance is a death. Jesus died. The next thing, Jesus was buried. You got to be buried. After you die through repentance and you die through surrender, you got to be buried. You got to be buried with him in baptism. That's what the Bible says. Buried with Christ in baptism. Buried with Christ in baptism. Also, it says it's a circumcision, not with hands, but on the inside. And friend, if you're not in covenant with God through water baptism, amen, you're in trouble. You need to be baptized. 1, 2. First, you got to die. Second, you got to be buried. The third, there must be resurrection. You need the power of the Holy Ghost to resurrect you into a new creature. Jesus told Nicodemus in John the 3rd chapter, you got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit to see or enter into the kingdom of God. I'm thankful today that there's some patterns that we've got to follow and we got to keep. Aren't you thankful for the word of the Lord today? Amen. You got to keep the book. You got to keep the pattern. If you have not been born again of water and the Spirit, if you have not been filled with the Holy Ghost, don't take my word for it. If you have not been baptized in water and buried in water in the name of Jesus, you need the name on you. Sister Crosswhite, woo! It was July the 15th, 1985, the 1900s, I married a woman. She came down the aisle as Kelly Marie Hooks. But when she left down the aisle on my arm, amen, she was Kelly Marie Crosswhite. And friend, she had the ability to sign my name because my name was on her then. Amen. Oh, friend. And when our babes were born, guess what? They got our name.
Aren't you thankful, amen, that you got the name of the Lord when you married Jesus Christ? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of the Lord, amen, is a beautiful thing when you say Jesus, amen. But oh, when you have the name on you, when you, they look at you, they don't see you anymore. They see a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become. What an exciting thing to follow the pattern of the Word of God. Stand with me tonight. Woo! Hallelujah. Mm. Hallelujah. Amen. You got to follow the pattern. Amen. And we're so thankful for the Word of God, the goodness of the Lord. When Noah obeyed and he got his family, the Lord said, get into the ark. When Noah got in the ark, the Lord shut the door, sealed them in. I'm glad to be sealed in with God. The Bible says we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Guess what happened? The rains came down, then the floods came up. The rains came. Remember Sunday school class? But the ark, all of a sudden, started floating. It was worth it to be in the ark, and it's worth it to be in the plan of God. Hallelujah. I'm thankful right now. Would you lift both of your hands high above your head? Amen. And would you thank the Lord tonight for his beauty? Amen. His glory. Oh, what a privilege tonight. We ought to love him. Come on, love him back for his mercy. Love him back for his goodness. I love you, Jesus. I praise you. I magnify you, oh God. Holy, you are my shepherd. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, you're so awesome. You're so beautiful. You're so great. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the proof. Thank you for the evidence. Thank you for the grace and the goodness. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Hallelujah. And put me in your ark, God. Let me have your name. We love you and we praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And he's coming back for a people that has his name. Amen. His bride. Praise God. I love you. Let's go to heaven. How? Yeah. Amen. God bless you tonight.